This morning, I spoke and started some. Well, I think it's got to be another series. I just decided to do it as a one-off, but anyway, I think it's a series now. On momentum. And, you know, this morning we went a bit deeper. We talked about what it takes to maintain personal momentum in your life. And we talked about the difference between being a spiritual lightweight and actually having some spiritual mass. You see, because momentum is mass, the sum of mass and velocity. So in other words, substance and speed. And sometimes we wonder why we don't make it through things. We wonder why we can't keep going. We wonder why things knock us over. And often we're walking around like spiritual lightweights, where we actually don't have enough mass to stand up. The Bible says, you know, stand in the power of God, stand in who you are in Him, stand and put on the armour, be strong in the Lord. You get that stuff right through the Scripture. I think sometimes we wonder why we fall over all the time. And I think we haven't actually been to the spiritual gym and bulked up a little bit and gained enough spiritual mass to actually give us the momentum to get through some things. So we talked a lot about that this morning. And tonight I just want to talk about what it actually takes to be part of a group where momentum is happening. See, when we think about an organisation or a church, the number of people who are part of something will increase the mass. So if we want momentum as a church, if we increase our mass, that's a really good place to start. How do we increase our mass? Well, yeah, we actually increase our spiritual mass, but I think we also increase our numerical mass. In other words, the more people that are part of something, the bigger the mass is, and then the more people who are engaged and going somewhere and moving forward brings velocity. That is the mass and the velocity, and then you've got momentum. So we put out the challenge a couple of weeks ago. Why don't you come to church every week for 6 weeks in a row? What a novel thing in this day and age. And just see. I'm prepared to go out on a limb. There's only one place in the Bible where it says, actually test me on this, and it was in relation to giving. So I'm not God and I'm not the Bible, but I'll go out on a limb and say, I'm Dave. And say, test me on this, that if you commit to something and being there and being present where you actually develop a pattern in your life, like the 6 weeks challenge, say, you know what, I'm going to turn up every week for 6 weeks. I guarantee, and you can hold me personally accountable, that you will actually start to get some momentum in your life in a spiritual sense. There is more to it than that, but my word, it's a good place to start. Join the peloton, and I'm going to talk more about cycling tonight, and everybody cheers now because they know they're not allowed to say anything different. We've got a working bee on Saturday. Come to that. You'll be part of what's going on. You'll be part of momentum. We've got the Easter service coming up, and we've got all sorts of good things that will, you know what, that stuff can actually create momentum for us as a community if we choose to be part of it and part of the mass and actually engage with it and get some velocity going on. In other words, some movement, we can actually see momentum happen. So basically, we need to get our mass, which is ourselves, moving and keep it moving. So I said this morning that momentum is far more than just physical movement. It's not movement for movement's sake. You can be expending a whole lot of energy on a treadmill and going nowhere. And sometimes, in a spiritual sense, I think as churches, we're really, really good at that. We're actually good at activity for activity's sake. But let's make sure that activity is actually taking us somewhere and is moving us forward so that we actually have momentum. There's no point you being that busy that you're wrung out and you can't do anything if it's just activity for activity's sake. The problem is, I think the average Christian goes from one extreme to the other. They get involved and there's lots of activity and they say, oh, it was all too much. So then they sort of, oh, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to chill out for the next 55 years. And never experience momentum again in their whole life. Because they don't want to get burnt out. I guarantee, again, you can hold me accountable on this. That if you are in the center of God's will, if you are led by His purpose, if you are living for a purpose bigger than yourself, that you won't burn out. Why do we burn out? We burn out when we're putting a whole lot of energy into stuff that doesn't seem to be fruitful, it doesn't seem to bear results, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We experience momentum when we're in the right place, internally and externally, with the right people, with a purpose bigger than ourselves. I'll say that again. We experience momentum when we're in the right place, internally and externally, with the right people, with a purpose that is bigger than ourselves. Here we go. One of the things that excites me and I love about riding my bike is riding in a bunch. You can ride on your own and it's okay, but you know what? When you get in a bunch, particularly a big bunch that is moving and is going fast, it is incredibly exhilarating. And you will find yourself being able to move and carry forward at a speed at which you couldn't have done otherwise. And it has a momentum all of its own. And maybe you're not into cycling, but you've seen just a few clips of something like the Tour de France. And what generally happens, in some ways, Grand Tour racing, which is the Tour de France and some of the other tours that go on for 21 days. And there's a bit of a sameness about a lot of it. Generally, what will happen in most stages is that they'll all go off together, all the bikes go off. And not far from the start, you get people trying to get in what they call the breakaway. In other words, they're trying to get away from the main group. And that looks easy enough, because you see these guys up the road and they've been there for a while, but they have got to ride themselves right on their limit and past their limit as hard as they can to break off the front of that group. They have got to work really hard to get off the front. And what generally happens is a few people get off the front and they form a bit of a group, and then they start working together and they get some momentum going, and oftentimes they will be making a lot of time on the group. Sometimes it'll be 7 or 8 or 10 minutes at some point during the race that these guys are away from the main group. The main group is generally controlled by the teams that actually have got a rider that thinks that they can win the whole Grand Tour. And what they will do is they will let these guys hang out the front and use up a whole lot of energy, and they generally think that they can catch them. And sometimes the breakaway succeeds, but mostly it gets caught. And often it gets caught only metres before the finish line. And the thing, they show these shots where you've got these guys, these poor guys that have been flogging their insides out all day, out the front, only to get caught, 100 metres before the finish line. You see, and that there is a momentum and there is an energy that when the peloton is going and it is in full speed, that you've got no hope of holding it off, because there are just such a mass of so many riders with so much energy that are working together, and the whole thing gets a momentum and a velocity and it just goes. And it seems to be able to gobble anything up in its path. It's almost like a monster. The reason it works is the aerodynamic advantage. It's protection from the wind, known as riding in the draft. Basically, you can ride with 30% less effort and get the same result, or probably even more at times. But I think there are people here tonight, And you feel like you've been plugging away at life and you're not making the progress that you would like. You're not feeling like you're getting sort of a momentum in your life. And I believe that there is a godly momentum that we're supposed to experience in the kingdom of God. I believe there is a godly momentum that we're supposed to live by. I believe that we're not meant to be on our own, slogging it out, not making progress and not getting to where we feel like we need to go. And I believe that we actually need to get in the draft. Some of us are out in a place, the draft is that area behind the bike in front where there is actually a lower pressure and you can go a lot further. And some of us are out there slogging it away. And I believe this prophetically tonight, that some of us actually need to get in the draft. That we've actually got to get in the slipstream of what we've been called to do. We've got to get in the wind of the Holy Spirit. It says this in John 3 verse 8. It says, the wind blows wherever it wants. If you're writing stuff down, this is my only scripture tonight, so write it down. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you hear the wind blow, you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. You can't explain to people how they are born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus was talking to a very learned gentleman by the name of Nicodemus when he said that. And he actually said, you know what, if you want momentum in life, you've got to be born of water and you've got to be born of the Spirit. In other words, you've got to be born of water. That's your physical birth. And if you actually want a momentum, you've actually got to be born of the Spirit. And it says, you know what, the Spirit actually wakes you up inside in a spiritual manner. It actually brings life to your spirit. And maybe some of us have experienced that at one level, but I think that we'd actually need to get in the draft and the wind of what the Holy Spirit is doing at the moment. See, momentum, when it is strong enough, will carry you past all sorts of resistance and obstacles. And the obvious thing is, you know, you go down a hill on a bike and you've got a hill to come up, and then if you've got enough pace down there, it's amazing how you can get up over it. For Alex's 40th birthday, which was last year, we bought her a... Nothing's funny. Yeah, I'm speaking prophetically. Yeah. I'm sorry, my sweet. It was your 30th birthday, wasn't it? Yeah. And anyway, I couldn't afford to buy her a red Ferrari for her midlife crisis. So we bought her another little Italian thing. It was happened made in China, but anyway, it's got the Italian name. We bought her this Piaggio Fly scooter, little scooter, 125 cc's of sheer horsepower. And we used to live in Lenna Valley, and so, you know, when things like the Taste of Tasmania or stuff was on down around the waterfront and you couldn't get parking, we thought, it's great, you can take the scooter. So we would both go on the scooter. And the easiest way to get back to our house was the back track, you know, the back Brooker Highway that sort of runs through the north and the western suburbs of Hobart. And it's got this street in the middle of it that's been closed for goodness knows how long, called Mellifont Street, if you know it. So Mellifont Street is steep. And the first time we went up there on this scooter, and I was heavier then. And we're going up there and I was really worried just going around the top corner. I thought, are we going to make it? Is this it? You know, if we stop and lose momentum, we're just going to topple over. Anyway, through some miracle of Italian-Chinese engineering, and a very, very strained little automatic transmission, we sort of managed to get our way up around the top. So the next time we did it, we did it lots of times. There is only one way to attack Mellifont Street, and that is hard. So I made sure the next time we had as much velocity as we possibly could get within the speed limit at the base of Mellifont Street, and we went up much easier. You see, if you've got momentum in life, if you've got a momentum, you will find that you come up against obstacles and things that are in your way that if you haven't got momentum, you struggle to even get over. But if you've got momentum, you find yourself, yes, you've got to do some work, you've got to push a bit. Sometimes you've got to have a strategy like we did on Mellifont Street, but you will find yourself going over and through, and you're going to keep going. And I believe that as a group of people that we can get with one another and we can actually develop a momentum that is going to see you past some of your challenges, that is going to see you past, you know, whatever it is, a relationship challenge. It's going to see you through addiction. It's going to see you through a job loss. It is going to get you through university. It is going to get you through whatever it is that's coming up for you in your world at the moment. We've got to get in the draft. We've got to decide that we're going to ride in the group and we're going to get some momentum in our life. Now, I always, and pride myself in preaching from the Bible and backing stuff up with scriptures, and I've used the scripture tonight, but these thoughts, while I keep it a little bit lighter, and we're going to have some ministry in a minute, it's just some of my thoughts about riding in the bunch. And here's what I've found, is that when you ride in a bunch, you mostly get out more than you put in. And if we want momentum in life, we will find that if we commit to a group of people that is going somewhere, we will get more out than we actually put in. And it's not the intent that you say, oh, I'm here for a free ride, but you know, if you commit and you decide that you're going to put in that group, you will get more out than you put in. You can maintain a considerably higher speed for much longer than you ever could if you're riding by yourself. You see, a good bunch or sometimes we have a pace line has incredible momentum, and you can actually maintain that for a long time. You can actually maintain it even on bikes for numbers of hours where you can maintain quite a high pace. Why? It's because you rotate the people who are doing the work out on the front. And you just keep rotating and you keep rotating and you keep rotating. So someone goes to the front and they work really hard and they're able to then swing back out, back into the draft, have some time to recover while somebody else does the work, and that is the rotation that keeps this thing going. You see, when we're actually with a group of people, when we're going somewhere, there will be times where you're called to go to the front. There'll be times where you're called to be out there right at the pointy end and doing stuff. But you know what? We're going to make sure we don't leave someone hanging out there, that we leave room for someone to swing out and swing back in and get to a place where they recover, and then what we're called to do is much more sustainable. Another thing I've found is second or third wheel is the safest place to ride. That means second or third person back in the bunch. Another thing that you might have noticed if you watch a little bit of Tour de France is that the teams that think they've got somebody who can win that race spend a lot of effort keeping their rider at the front of the bunch. And the thing about the bunch in those races is the bunch all finishes together and everybody's awarded the same time if there's no splits in it. So if 100 riders finish together and you know that might take up, that bunch might be 4 or 5, you know, might be 100 metres long or something like that, all those people are awarded the same time. So there's no benefit time-wise to being at the front. Why do they ride at the front? They ride at the front to keep their rider out of trouble. They ride at the front to keep their rider safe. They ride at the front so if there's an accident and bikes topple over everywhere, that the person that they've invested so much time, money and energy into is going to be kept safe. And I think sometimes we want to run our race from the back. We want to come in and we want to just sit down. And in church, it's actually quite easy to see. Sometimes, you know, when somebody's doing well, you know, they're engaged and they're part. And in churches like ours, people tend to sit up the front. But, you know, if stuff's not working well and you're feeling a bit disenfranchised, people start to slide back further down towards the back seats. And it's just it's a very easy picture of what people are going through. It's not always the case, but mostly it is. But just go with this analogy for just a minute. That we actually can't, there's a saying again in cycling, that you can't control the pace, you can't influence the race from the back. And I think sometimes we get frustrated because we don't actually lean forward or step forward to the pointy end where we can actually be where we're called to be and have some influence. And that's a posture where we choose to actually lean forward. To live with godly momentum, we need to step forward. We need to not sit back and have a back seat sort of posture, but we need to have a front seat or a leaning forward type posture. Another thing that I've learned is that you are most vulnerable in a bunch after you've done your turn. The most likely time that you might be spat out of a group, and it's a pretty horrible thing. You can be riding in a bunch and then you can be off the back and out of it as quick as that. And when you are most vulnerable to that happening is after you've rolled your turn. Because often if you're just in a bunch of riders, you ride on the front and you swing out, and then you've probably seen this where you watch track races on TV, and the guy on the front or the girl on the front swings out and comes onto the back. And when you've been on the front, you've been riding, generally speaking, you know, towards your maximum capacity. And then you swing out and you're trying to recover, and somebody else who is fresh has come onto the front, and if they're not a real experienced rider, instead of maintaining the pace, they might pick it up a little bit because they're fresh. And in that moment, you can be spat out the back as quick as one thing. And sometimes, particularly in church life, you've been having a crack, you've been having a go, you've been part of a team, you've been putting in, and maybe it's just been time for a change. There's nothing wrong with it, there's nothing bad about that, but there's just like a swinging out and somebody else comes through. Often that's when we're most vulnerable. How do we stop that happening? Well, in cycling, what we do is we don't let that person go right to the back. We make sure that they swing in three or four bikes from the back and they actually get some protection and they're not sitting back there by themselves. And we've actually got to, if we want momentum together, we've got to look out for the vulnerable. We've got to look out for those people that have been doing their turn. We've got to look out for those people that have been having a crack, and we've got to make sure that we don't leave them dangling out the back. We were on a ride a while back and we had a guy that was okay, and he was just struggling a little bit in different times. What we did is we said we wanted to get back and we didn't want him to slow us up too much, but we also wanted to look after him. But we actually put him in that third wheel position. We said, you just stay there. You'll be right. You'll have to put in a bit here and there, but you stay. If you're on the back, we're going to lose you just like that. And he did. And he stayed there third wheel and we got him home and we got him back. And I think some of you have felt a bit alone at times. Some of you have felt like, you know, you're going to get left behind. You felt like God is doing, or your days are done, or whatever's going on. Well, I want to say, come on, let's swing in. Let's not go to the back. Let's come in. Let's stay in the bunch. Let's stay in the group. Let's stay where we're called to be. Another thing that I've learned is that it can be dangerous in the bunch. I've had a few trips to hospital, as some of you know. And generally speaking, it's happened in a bunch where you know, somebody's done something and I've hit a wheel and toppled off and broken collarbones and things like that. There is some danger in the bunch. And there are people who have been injured all over the place because they got knocked around a little bit when they were part of a team. You know, some buffhead said something that was a bit silly and you know, you got offended, or, you know, some stuff like that goes on. It will go on. It will keep going on. And we're humans. We do that stuff. There is some amazing payoffs through running the race together, and it's the way we're called to run. But just sometimes dangerous things just happen a little bit. We try to eliminate them. But hey, if they do, let's just realize that, you know, if we're ever on the pointy end of something, if we're ever making a difference, there's always R-I-S-K, which is risk, which is the faith factor. Did I get that right in the end? And I'm going to finish with this one. It's lonely and long when you get dropped. And I think as Christians, we don't want to, in cycling terms, sometimes if you're in a competitive race, the goal is to drop people. If you're working as a team, you want to keep the team together. As a church, as kingdom people, we don't want anybody to get dropped. We don't want anybody dangling out the back. And other people can really help. I think we can all do better with that. But as we said this morning, it also takes some effort. And I've found when I've been in those places where I've done a turn on the front, swung out to the back, what my experience tells me is that if I ride hard and I hurt, just for a few seconds or a few minutes or whatever it takes, I'm actually going to stay in the bunch and I'm going to keep up with the bunch and I'm going to finish with the bunch. And there are times where it's just going to hurt for a little bit, where you've got to say, hey, I'm actually still going to follow. If Jesus called me, if Jesus saved me, if he gave me a purpose, he's not going to bring me this far to let me fall. He's not going to bring me this far to let me down. And, you know, sometimes we've just got to say, you know what, I'm just going to put in. I'm going to get over this bump. I'm just going to put in a little bit and I'm going to get through this season. I'm just going to have a bit of a go and I'm actually going to stay with the group. I'm going to stay with the bunch. I'm going to stay with where I'm called and I'm going to experience the momentum. Right now, I just want to allow the Holy Spirit to work on some people here. If we want personal momentum, if we want momentum as a church, we've got to get in the draft. We've got to experience the wind of the Spirit. If you want personal momentum, you're not going to find personal momentum by doing a solo effort. You're going to find personal momentum planted in a house, in a family, in a team, in a kingdom. That's where you're going to find personal momentum. And I'm a local pastor. I speak within the context of a local church. I'm more passionate about the local church than I am about cycling. Because there's no plan B. The local church is it. Jesus is not coming back for an organisation. He's not coming back for a government. He's not coming back for some great ideas. He's not coming back for a humanitarian effort. He's coming back for the church. See those things. I love what the Message Bible says in Ephesians. It says, you see, everything that's going on, the church is absolutely at the center of it. And then Peterson says, the church you see is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. If we want momentum, humanitarian efforts, good deeds will actually flow out of the church. I really intended to go to ministry a bit earlier, but I just really felt I want to challenge us. And if you want kingdom momentum, we're very good at saying, let's love Jesus. How do you love Jesus? What's the most important thing to Jesus? Essentially, yeah. But if you want to put it in terms of the way he sees it, he's coming back for his bride. His bride, which is the church. It's the most important thing because all those things flow out of the church. So yeah, we've got to love Jesus and we've got to love people. But I think within the context of that, we love the church. The church is people. The church is a sinner. Who needs to get in the wind of the Spirit? Who needs to join the peloton? Come on, just stay seated, but raise your hands. Come on, let's expect the Holy Spirit just to move here right now. We're probably all from a few different backgrounds here, but we're a Pentecostal church. I'm going to pray in tongues right now and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and move among us. Shiramba da kata rumba da sida kata rumba da sida ka rumba da suda ka rumba da sida kata rumba da sida. Shubala pato rumba da te sida kata rumba da shata ka rumba da tudo subala da rumba da. Sada pako rumba di kata la da rumba da suda pa kata ta sila rumba da kata ti su rumba la da. Holy Spirit, right now we thank you that you are here. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would just start to fall on people across this place. Lord, I just pray that people would experience a fresh wind of the Spirit, where those that are feeling tired, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and blow on them right now, wherever they are, in Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name. Shida rambata suda data rambata sata karambata sigata. Shida karambata sula da parambata tata karambata sidata. Sharambata suba karambata sata karambata siga. Shida karambata sata karambata sata katarambata kata. Shida karambata suda patambata da pata karambata siga. Shida karambata sula pa karambata kata kata. Shida karambata sakata rambata sata. Shida pa karambata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 My friend here, Dan, I only said hello to you as we came in. But I just want to encourage you right now. And I don't know anything at all about your journey or about what you're engaged with. But I just get a sense where you're actually at a place where you actually need to make some decisions about, you know, do I get involved with this? Do I go that way? Or do I commit here? Or do I go there? My encouragement is to be confident about that and actually commit. Commit to what you know is right, what God has placed inside you. And there's a sense where as if you would jump on board with that and you would find people around you, that there will be a momentum that starts to happen in your life. There will be productiveness. There will be a fruitful season. But I just think right now the important thing is choosing to say, you know what, I'm going to commit. Maybe I just get a sense where you've been through a time of feeling like you want to second guess yourself, and is this right or is that right? And the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what, he's actually, you know, if your heart's pure and intent, you know, don't worry so much about getting it wrong. Just step out, make a commitment. He's going to look after you and he's going to take you there. But make that commitment. My friend here, just forgive me with the names, you're Levi. I just want to encourage you. I just feel like, you know, Jesus wants you to know how valuable and important you are to him. And you're not second rate. You're absolutely first rate. And he's got a place, and he's got really, really important stuff for you in the kingdom. And again, I just want to encourage you to get on board. It's like get in the draft. Get in board with what he's calling you to do. And sometimes we can feel like, you know, we've got to slug away by ourselves and just do it. You know, you're not called to do it by yourself. Just jump on board and you're going to be amazed at what he's got for you. The stuff that you're carrying on the inside, the stuff that, you know, people have even years ago spoken into your life and suggested you could be this or could be that. Feels like a long way away, or it feels like I don't know if it makes sense anymore. But you know what? God hasn't lost your number. He's still there, and he smiles, and he really wants you to jump on board. And you'll be amazed. I think you can jump into a season where you will be absolutely surprised at what he does, and some of the things that you're thinking through at the moment. You think, gee, can he sort that out? Absolutely he can, and he will. Just jump on board, get in the draft. You'll be surprised at what he does. Simon, I just want to encourage you with just a sense of, and you know, some of this we've talked about, so I feel like I'm bringing a word, but I want to preface it with what I do know. But there's a sense where, you know, that longing to hear God's voice and to be in that zone, and a sense of, I think sometimes you're wondering, is the way I'm wired, is my bent or my uniqueness, is that work in the kingdom of God? Does that work in the whole church scene? Is it work, you know? And we know the answers at an intellectual level. We know, yeah, it uses everyone and all that. But I just feel that in a spiritual sense, just to encourage you right now to say, yeah, absolutely, it does work. And he's going to use you, and he's going to do more than you ever expected. And even some of the things that you think, well, that's not my zone, that's not my thing. Don't even worry about what your zone is and what your thing. Just as you follow Jesus and as you step into those opportunities that are there, that he's going to use you in a really, really powerful way. So be encouraged. I think this year there's going to be some breakthrough for you. Not just like, oh, everything's going to go off, but I just feel there's going to be a breakthrough on the inside. There's going to be a breakthrough in the confidence that you're carrying and who you are and where you're going. So just be encouraged. And you're going to start to hear his voice with much, much more clarity. My friend down the back here, and you're Jeff. Yeah, be encouraged, mate. I don't know anything about your journey or what's going on, but I don't know, there's a theme here tonight with what God is saying. And as you choose to take some risks, and I don't think these things are financial risks or things like that, but I think that you know, he's actually going to ask you to take a few emotional risks. He's actually going to ask you to sort of to open yourself a little bit more than you feel like you would like to, or you feel like you've been in the habit of doing. And again, that scripture I referred to a while back, that Jesus says that, you know, he didn't bring anybody this far to let them fall. And he says that to you tonight, that he didn't bring you to this place, this far, to this time, and even really put this mark on a calendar in your diary, that he didn't bring you to this time in 2018, we are, aren't we? He didn't bring you to March 2018 to leave you dangling and let you fall. He brought you this far, and he is actually going to work in a powerful way through you. So just be encouraged. Jump on board. Get in the wind of the Spirit, and you'll be surprised and amazed at what happens. Just be encouraged, Joey. Loved having you on guitar this morning and what you're doing. And I teased you about your skinny cycling physique. But you know what? You're not going to be a spiritual lightweight, mate. And you're not. But right now, God is doing something where he's adding mass. He's adding substance. Some of the stuff you've been through, which wasn't fair, it's going to add substance. Bow our head, close our eyes for a minute. I just want to give you the most exciting invitation that I can give you right now. I've talked about living a life with momentum. Talked about the fact that I believe that it is found more than anything in a bunch of people that are committed to each other, people that have a purpose that is much bigger than them, called the local church. You can be connected to a local church through relationship and through association. But the only real way that you can be, because we're told the church is not a building, it's not the organisation, it's not the structures, it's the people. The only way that we can really be part of that is to be totally connected to Jesus. I don't know where everybody is tonight.